First, Morinayim, Parshas Devarim, Tavshin Samavav, Zok the Heilige Morinayim. Morinayim here is one of his classics, speaking about the Soid Yetzias Mitzrayim, who Shadas Hayabagolus, Ubekatnus. Shliyadu Adas Asholim Lave the Shemizbor Batayan the Moichin Gedoilim. So a constant recurring theme in Chassidus is, again, it's all Zohar, it's all Kabbalah, is the concept of Moichin the Godless and Moichin the Katnus, being small minded or being big minded. And Mitzrayim, which the word Mitzrayim is Meitzar, which means to be squeezed, which means to be fetched, to be crushed. A meitzar means to be diminished, to be decimated, to belittled. The goals of Mitzrayim wasn't so much the physical pain, but it was more the intellectual strangulation of Klal Yisrael by putting limits on their minds. So there's a limited mindset, and then there's a no limits person. Moichin the godless means no limits. I'm a no limits person. And I think big, or I think small. I can think like a baby, I can think like a kid, or think like an adult. That makes all the difference. And like it says in the Haggadah, brings down the Pasuk, from Yecheskel Tezayin, it says, Vatirvi Vatigdali. When the Navi Yecheskel metaphorically, poetically describes the Jewish people sort of sprouting out of Mitzrayim, it says, Vatirbi Vatigdali, and you multiplied and you grew great. So even when it says in the Torah that the six terminologies of demographic growth, it does not merely mean population growth of flesh and blood and numbers of people. Vatirbi Vatigdali means that the miracle, the greatest miracle of leaving Mitzrayim, is the miracle of a fully developed person, a mature mind, a cultured mind. And that makes all the difference. And that's why it says also the famous Chazal, the Mechilta, and Bashalach, Shiros HaShivcha LaYom, Mashla Roy Yechezke Mabuzik, that even a Shivcha, a maidservant, who was the lowest social level, saw more at the Yamsuf than Yechezkel, who saw the highest celestial heights, she saw more than that. So, in other words, bring out the idea that the liberation of Mitzrayim was the emancipation of the mind and the heart. And what does that mean? So the Orinayim gives us a beautiful word. Number one, there's joy, tainuk. But that's not what it means. This is the result. The result of being big-minded, the result of having a no-limits mind, is to enjoy life, period, tainuk. The small-minded person, and this, we could call it now self-centered if you wish, we could call it selfish, but not even selfish in a derogatory fashion. It's selfish in the sense that a person who looks at himself as the center of the universe and doesn't have much interest in everything, only in the context of himself. And his responsibility in the world is only to himself and about himself. So the extent that a person's interest in the world is really self-centered, not even so much for the selfishness of it. In other words, you can do tzedakah and still be a self-centered person. And it's all about me. The tzaddik, he describes, is the tzaddik is mekasher es ha'olam, that's called Harchavas Adas. The tzaddik identifies and bonds himself to everything in the entire Bria. It's a different kind of a tzedakah. Like we said last week from the Heilige Morinayim, we said last week that the main tzedakah is not giving tzedakah. The main tzedakah is to daven. And to have Midas Rachmanis, to be more Midas Rachmanis on somebody, as we learned last week in Parshas Matos. The main tzedakah is to create a atmospheric change, to make a spirit of charity and compassion in the world. The merely giving from my hand to someone else's hand is a limited tzedakah. Bigger tzedakah is to create waves of good vibes in the world by davening and begging in Shemayim that things should be good, that Hashem should, we should want to strengthen the good, the giving in the world, the generous world, the Ayin Tova world. That's much higher than just giving a coin or $100 bill or a check for $20,000. You give a check, but if it comes out of the goodness of my heart, if my heart's bleeding for you or my conscience is bothering, it's missing tzedakah. Tzedakah is to create an entire different atmosphere in the world. And part of that creation of a new atmosphere is the idea that I'm not giving you, but rather I identify with you, and you and I are one. And not only you and I are one, but even I and my pen are one, and me and the tablecloth are one, and we are sharing the same planet and the same cosmos, and every breath of it that I breathe and I breathe out, then 6 billion people are really breathing my air, really, if you think about it. So there's no man's an island, and not only is no man an island in humanity, but every animal in the world is breathing my air, and the air and the atmosphere affects the vegetable world, that's for sure. And the truth is that the atmosphere affects even the mineral world. So even in a scientific sense, we are intertwined, but people don't pay that much attention to it. But it's there, and that's why we have epidemics every now and then. Chas v'shalom, but it shows you one little germ can spread amazingly and make a black plague overnight, and one rat can come from Calcutta and get off a ship in Hamburg and spread the black plague from the Orient throughout the entire Europe. So sometimes we have this evidence biologically, and we have this in epidemics. So the same thing in a positive way, that when a person spreads, the tzaddik is mekasher himself to the whole world. The tzaddik feels an affinity to stars light years away. And the affinity is very simple, because it depends how I define myself. Do I define myself as me? Am I Avram Chaim Foyer? So I say, who are you? Avram Chaim Foyer. Or should I say, I'm a creature of the Rabbanu Shalom. That would really be the right answer. I'm actually proud to say, my name is Foyer. I'm a great guy. You don't know who I am. I'm a great wife. I'm the son-in-law of the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva. And he was the son-in-law of the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva, and my wife, and they gave me a great-great-grandson of Blazer Telzer, and you know my yichas goes back to David HaMelech, the Rashi. You know who I am? Any definition I give myself is really a limitation, because it's really exclusive. I'm saying, I come from David HaMelech, and you don't. You might come from Aaron Cohen, but I don't know if you come from David HaMelech. I come from David HaMelech. You come from Aaron Cohen. Everybody comes from someplace else. So, by claiming exclusivity, I'm really limiting myself. That's the biggest yichas I have. The biggest yichas is I'm created b'tzelem Elokim. I'm a creature of God. That's what I should answer. Who are you? I'm a creation of the Rabbanu Shalom. What's your name? Oh, they gave me a name. It's Avram Chaim Reb Shlomo. That's my name. Because otherwise, hard to describe me. Guy with the beard. A lot of guys have beards. 5'10", like as a 5'10". I always use glasses, like as a glasses. It's not going to be a very accurate definition. Should we tattoo people now? You know, give them tattoos, you know, that's kind of concentration camp, Dick. We don't do that. I have a social security number, but it's not that. I don't want identity theft, so I can't give my social security number. So give me a name, Avram Chaim Foyer. But that's just identification purposes only. Who am I? A creature of Hashem. Oh! Hey, so therefore, I'm Amish, a brother to this tape recorder. It's also created by Hashem, as being recreated every second. And I'm a brother to this tablecloth, and I'm a brother to the Martians. We are Amish, the same thing. Me and the Martians are the same. We're Amish brothers. They're created by God. I'm created by God. So I relate to R2-D2, XYZ, PG in the fifth parallel over there in some galaxy way out there beyond the comprehension of the Hubble. Because we're all the same. We're all creation of Hashem. I relate to every molecule, atom, and everything. It's fantastic. So that's Malachim the Godless. And therefore, I really know him forever. And even if I die, I will die, hopefully the right time and the best way, but I'm going to die, and you know what? I'll be recycled. I'm forever. God's forever. I was created by God. God created forever. The creation is forever. I fear not death. And I'm forever. Somebody worried about some IRS guy ordered me today. Do I care about that? Do I care about the bills I have to pay? I'm forever. I'm way above this. It's Nairish guy. It's all Nairish guy. I've been there, done it. I'll be here forever. I was here forever. I'm here forever. It's trivial, Nairish guy. I'm big stuff. I've moichen the godless. And that's great, like gewaltig. Life is geschmack. Life is, but the more mitzvahs me, if I'm Avraham Chaim Feuerl, then I got big problems. Because that's what I am. I have to worry about identity theft. I have to worry if you're giving me enough cover. You give me enough cover? I have to make sure my name's out there. I have a big cover, the main, a big sign out there in the main month, a big name out there. And I really, the sign's not really big enough. I was hoping they put me in lights. You didn't see the sign? Oh my goodness. What do you think I put the sign there up for? I mean, I didn't, but they put it up so you see the sign. So if it's about my name, I got big problems now. Make sure my name is properly respected, properly known. Little Derech Eretz over here. I have to make sure to keep on publishing. Publish or perish. And I got a lot of things to protect my yichus, my pride, my family. I have to make sure everything is good. I have to dress in a certain way, live in a certain way. You know, I don't want you to hear that Chazon went bankrupt. So I have to make sure to work hard, pay my bills, because if I get on bank, it wouldn't be nice for my name. So if I'm my name, I got a lot to do to protect my name. But if I'm a creature of Hashem, I'm not more important than you are. You're a creature, I'm a creature. I want to help you as much as me. What's the difference? You're a creature, I'm a creature. It's all the same. It's Mamash Meredik. So, but the fact that a person is the Protius, says the Chavz Levav, the Marinayim. Protius, personalizing my life, privatizing my life. It's not so much selfish, it's limitation. It's putting the squeeze on me. That I have to focus on one little part, one infinitesimal little part of the Bria and hold the fort over here. Holding fort is very hard. But if I'm a whole Bria, so I would know that the sucker just means just like I love putting a spoon into my mouth with food. Why shouldn't I put a spoon into your mouth? You and I are the exact same thing with creation of the Baruch Hu. So I'm not giving you away something from me. It belongs to Hashem. And you and I are just two little amoeba. We're just two little molecules sitting side by side over here. What's the difference? But there's no difference. Just like my hand has no problem putting the food in my mouth, because the hand knows that the mouth and the hand are a part of one big organism. So no problem putting the food in your mouth, even before I put it in my mouth. Because we're one. We're creations of Hashem. It is one big creation. So of course I give tzedakah. I'm not giving tzedakah. I'm not even sharing the tzedakah. You know, my hand doesn't share the food with my mouth. It doesn't give the food to my mouth. Just the delivery system. So it's the delivery system. Just like the intestines deliver it to the blood system eventually. The intestines break it down and then it goes into the blood system. So my hand gives you the tzedakah. I'm not giving you. I am merely a delivery system. It's all the same. It makes no difference, you or me. It's just as important that you have it as I have it. So, das, the katnus is protius. The more I see myself as an individual, life is miserable. The more I see myself as part of the whole world, and makash myself to everything, with all the nevroya, life is great. That's oilam atainuk. And that's takam shad, that ain't adidim nevtokim belav shirashon. There's not one parsha. I can almost say this for a fact. I don't think there's one parsha that the Morinai doesn't say it again and again, the statement of Zohar. That all dinim are nimtokim b'sharoshim. That's just Neitz Chaim, I think. Neitz Chaim, he brings that. It's from Arizal. That all dinim. Din is constriction. Din is restriction. And dinim are bad. They're bitter. And they only get sweet when you go to the source. When we realize we all come from the same source, then everything gets sweet. The more that I am detached from the source, and I'm far from the source, and the further I am from the source, which is God, the Creator, the more individual I am and specific I am, then life is bitter. It's no good. Life is not so geschmack. So, Oilam HaTainig is Oilam HaChavas HaDas. And he says, that's why really, Shabbos, the Rebbe says, the biggest matana, as I said, the Rebbe says, in Shabbos, Hashem said, the Moshe, I have a big matana to give you, a big gift to give you, and it's called Shabbos. And whoever's ma'anik is a Shabbos, whoever delights in Shabbos, gets a nachla b'li mitzor. He gets a portion without limits. He says, right, because Shabbos, the gift of Shabbos, is not the kugel and the chalent. The gift of Shabbos, Beit Shin, is the moichin, the godless. That's what the greatness of Shabbos is. So what are you looking for in Shabbos? If you're looking for the kugels and chalent, you're missing the point. It's nice. But that's not it. It is moichin, the godless. What a gift. That's why we make Kiddush when Shabbos begins. Because Kiddush means to detach. Kiddush means detachment from this world. It means detachment from myself. Kiddush is detachment from the limitations of my personal Proteus. The old Chassidish Rambam is filled with this again and again. Proteus is bad. Proteus. The Stolner Rebbe, the Beis Aharon says, the Gemara says that Rava would give a penny before he davened, and then he would daven. Famous Gemara. That's what we learned. Allah, he's supposed to always give money. He goes to get stuck before you daven. But it says, Ani b'tzedek echze ponecha ezba b'hokit t'muna secha. So the Stolen Rebbe types it in a Hasidish way. The Gemara says, Allah Shalom, Rava yoyev pruta v'shapir v'hodr matli. Rava gave a pruta. A pruta is a penny. V'hodr, afterwards, he davened. But the Stolen Rebbe types it, Rava yoyev pruta et avegigem the proteus. He gave away his individuality. V'hadar masli, hadar l'shem, beautiful. Priyat hadar. Shein gedavin. Adzeh shein gedavin. You daven, that's such a nice davening when you have not given away your proteus. And I'm still into my proteus. That my when I have my shopping list, that's not a nice davening. Missing the whole point. The only point of davening is to be zoich the moichin, the godless during davening, which is moichin of abandoning myself. So really the ultimate identity theft, you know what the ultimate identity theft is? We steal from ourselves. You are the ultimate identity thief. Did you know that? Don't tell it to your wife. But I'm telling you, you are a thief. Because identity is theft. You hear? Identity is goof for theft. You're stealing yourself from the Rebbe Shalom. If you really look at yourself as being with your name and your social security number, that's your identity, that's theft. That's a mitzvah of an identity, of a separate personal identity, is theft. Rava yoyev pruta, the vegegem of the identity before davin, v'hadr matri, it's a shenga davin, it's a shenga davening, creates hadr, it's a nice davening. Ah, gewaltig. So therefore, these days, so the whole yisoid of these 3 weeks is called Bein HaMetzorim. These 3 weeks is like we're back in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is fakfetched. Mitzrayim is ervas aretz. Mitzrayim is the makor taiva. Taiva means that the most important thing in life is fulfilling my desires, my needs, my urges, my lusts, my agenda, my identity. That's Mitzrayim. The 3 weeks are bein hamitzarim. Mitzrayim is Mitzrayim, the same word. Meitzah means I'm just a little old me. That's all I care about. A little old me. Security for me, safety for me. Play it safe. Give a few pennies. That's part of playing it safe. But the pennies, the tzedakah, can be all part of the safety. You can use the pennies, the tzedakah, for mommy's the opposite effect. I have to protect my safety, so I'm giving money. Good insurance policy. I'm smart as I look. Rabbi, I'm not a shagas. I know it's better life insurance is tzedakah than having a $5 million policy for myself. I believe tzedakah taught me mavis. Rabbi, I'm liquidating my $5 million policy with New York Life. I'm taking it all, I'm giving it to tzedakah. I believe that I'm ensuring my life a lot better by liquidating my New York Life policy and giving it all to tzedakah. Tzedakah, tatsum, and over. See that? I'm a tzaddik. Yes, after a fashion, but you're a long way to go. If you're giving the tzedakah to save your own life, you're still missing the whole point of tzedakah. Fakir, the whole use of tzedakah is, the real tzedakah is, you give away your properties. You won't die, tzedakah. It means maybe you'll die. Isaac Abba tzedakah, he dropped dead. So, and there's a guy by Tzedakah, there's a Tzedakah called O Yosef Chai. He was an awesome Baal Tzedakah. His name was Yosef Reuben, I think, in Yerushalayim. He died very young. And he was a big Baal Tzedakah. I know a lot of Baal Tzedakah dropped dead young. There's a fellow, Rabbi Miski, who was at the Miski Gemach. He's buried right next to this Kalani Rebbe. He died right before I came to Muncie, 13 years ago. He was a young man, I think in his 40s. Awesome Baal Tzedakah. Awesome. Awesome. So what did he die? Hi, Tzedakah talked to him off the stairs. He didn't die. He bonded himself to the whole world. He gave Tzedakah properly. And he lost his whole identity to the point that God said, okay, you don't exist anymore. Come back home. You fulfilled your purpose in Bria. The ultimate purpose of life is not to live. The ultimate purpose of existence is not to exist as an individual entity. God said, you know what? You got there already. He's 48. You're fine. You're great. You succeeded. You're my kind of man. You're a tzaddik as Mekasher out with the Gantz of Bria. That's Tzedakah. There's no difference between me and you. So, believe me, I give Tzedakah, but boy, is it selfish. Believe me, I'm telling you, self-serving. I'm talking to myself. It's like amazing. It's really amazing. It's all about me. You can brag about your Tzedakah. You feel good about your Tzedakah. It's a great insurance policy. You know, I have a lot, a whole list of things I do. Because I can't make a pronounce being a rabbi. So one of the things I do is also I sell life insurance policy. I'm a life insurance agent. I tell people to get stuck. I have a whole slew of other careers that I have other than the rabbinate. So one of them is I'm a life insurance agent. Stuck at Tatsu and Mavis. But it's very self-serving. So Mitzrayim is self-serving. Churban came around because during these 3 weeks it was a Churban because we were Bein HaMetzarim. We were living in our Fakfesh, the little life. A little petty, trivial life pursuing me and my security and my kid's security and my wife's security and buying it with good deeds. I put it until in the morning to make sure I secure myself. So I put it until in the morning in order to tie myself up to the Rabbanu Shalom. I tie myself to the whole Bria. But I put it until every morning. This is my life jacket. I put a rabbi. Look, I'm not kashegas. I put it until every morning. But it's my life jacket. To me, it's all about me. So that's the Yisayit. So the Yisayit of the Dry Vachan of Ben HaMetzarim is the break out of the Metzarim. And that is the ultimate Tainik. On Shabbos, we can come to the Madrega. So on Shabbos, there's no availus of the, even though Shabbos Chazon, we pass and put on Big Day Shabbos, eat, drink, be merry. Again, you can have Kesud HaShleim B'Shaita. You have the meals of Shleim is at the peak of his greatness. Because Shabbos is Moichin the Godless. Shabbos is nachla b'li mitzarim. There's no squeeze, no limitations. So the Shabbos is the hepech of the Bein HaMetzarim. So that is the first yisoid of the Morning Naim and Hanukkah Parsha. You have to listen to the tape because it's a good one. The second yisoid is a lot of things, but the one I'd like to share with you is all arichas over here. The end of the parasha, explaining the difference between bias rishon and bias sheni. So all the Torah here on Dvarim has to do with the Yom Yoma. So the Heilige Gemara Naim explains what's the difference between bias rishon and bias sheni in page Shin Tes. So it's on the pasuk that says Re'ein osati lufneichem esoret asher nishba adonoi lavaseichem lavrom yitzv yakov losis lam ozam achareihem. See the land that I gave you, they swore to give you, I swore to your fathers to give to you, to Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Loseis Lohem, these are the key words, Loseis Lohem, Ulezarim Achareihem. So, says the Medrash, Loseis Lohem, to give it to them, that's the first Oil of Mitzrayim, the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim there, it's true. How about the first Beis HaMikdash? Loseis Lohem. Lazarum to their seed, that's Vayasheni. That's the Eden that came from Babel. And Achareyem, Lazarum, their seed after them is Yemois Mashiach. What's the pshat? So again, as I tell you, I can never give you the full story. It's beyond to give you the whole depth, everything he says is awesome. But I'll keep it very simple. The Heilige Gemara Naim explains the major difference between Bayis Rishon and Vayasheni was. And Bayis Rishon, the Yidden left Mitzrayim, with Noyeg, their anhaga with themselves, with others, with Hashem, was B'midas Ahava. It came from love. It was love, like it said in the Pasuk. The Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Perek Beis. Zachati lachesed nurayech avas chluloi sayech lechtech acharai bamidbar b'yeretz lo zruo. So Navi says, Rabbi Shimon says, the Klal Yisrael, I remember the chesed, the love of the early days, avas chluloi sayech, the love of our early marriage, when we were first married and bonded. Lechtech acharai bamidbar b'yeretz lo zruo, you followed me blindly into the desert, into the wilderness, a place that there's nothing there. And you didn't ask any questions, how are we going to eat? Later on, you started asking questions. But originally, love, love, love. You were infatuated with me, just followed me anywhere I wanted. You were mesmerized by me, says Hashem. That was really, even though there were ups and downs, but essentially that Avas Kelu Esayach represents the relationship from day one out of Mitzrayim until the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. When the love started to sour in the Chlami, it started, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But for many centuries, for over eight centuries, love was the predominant theme. And that, of course, is the midah of Avram Avinu, Ava, Avram Oavi. Bayesheni, Oile Bavel is midas Yitzchak. It's Gvura, which is tough love, tough. Bayesheni was built from the schus of Yitzchak, midah of Yitzchak. But it was Yira. It was Nava. And that's why when it's Yira, when it's Din, it was Midas Adin. That's why there was Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam comes when you are upset with people all the time. You have Din on them. You don't love them. When you love people, I'll call up Shoem Tchas Ava. All sins are covered by love, right? You can see no fault in your wife because you love her so much, right? I'll call up Shoem Tchas Ava, right? So I love, when I love somebody, so I can't see any flaw in them because I love them. But Bayis Sheni, so there was no sin and skin in the Bayis Rishon because they loved each other. But Bayis Sheni, it was Midas HaDin, and with no love, they weren't serving Hashem out of love. They weren't dealing with one another out of love. It was Din. And the Gemara Taka says in Bava Metzia that Bayis Sheni was Charev, Al Shemidu Divreyim Al Din Torah. That they didn't go beyond the letter of the law. Everything was, Azayishtei, Din Torah, Din. Which is very limitation, full of limitation. That's the meat of Yitzchak, and that's why it's Sinas Chinam. And so therefore either bias couldn't last. Bias Rishon couldn't last because there was too much Ava. It was Ava out of control. So you had Ava the Zohar, which is loving of other gods, or the Zohar Gil Arayas, which is love out of control. And the Shvichas Dam also is, I love myself so much, I hate you, I could kill you. But it also has to do with too much love for me, or I could love somebody else. I killed the guy because he did something bad to my relative I love so much. I love somebody so much, I hate you. She doesn't even hate you, just that you're in the way of the love. It doesn't come from hatred, it comes, I didn't kill the guy because I hated him so much, I did because I loved my brother so much, I felt he was doing the wrong thing. Or I loved Hashem and I felt this guy wasn't, he talked in shul. Every guy came to shul with two guns in their holsters or a knife. He talked in shul, bang. It's all over. I really don't hate you. I just don't like people talking in shul because I love Hashem so much and the shul is so holy to me that we have the God Squad. I can just see a gentleman here. He wants to become the head of the vigilantes. Anybody talks in shul, I won't not tolerate my love for God, my love for the Rav, love the shul, love the Torah, and therefore you got to be liquidated. So it's all love. So it's all about love. Avodah Zarah is love. Gilarayas is love, and even Shechus Damon can come from love. But Bayis Sheni are Din. Both of them are dangerous, and therefore you have to have Chug. So Chug is a basic terminology in Kabbalah, which is Chug. Chug is Chesed Ugvura. You have to have a Mizug. You have to have a blending of Chesed Ugvura Chug. Maybe that's why a holiday is called a Chag. When you come to the balance of Chesed Ugvura is Chag. Didn't say that, but that would be an interesting pshat. That you can only be happy when you have a blending of both. Because either one of them alone doesn't work. Too much love without any discipline and enforcement. So you're really a wimp. Or the love gets out of control. Too much din, of course, is obviously very dangerous without love. You have it together, then it's a chak, and that's a good balance. Bayis Shlishi will be the binyan elyon v'nifla b'leplois for oisais. And it'll be in the schus of Yankev Avinu. Bayis Shlishi is Yankev Avinu. Yankev Ishtam Yoishev Oicholim. Yankev is the perfect person sitting in tents, two tents. Yaakov will blend Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, the two tenths. Bayis Rishon, Avram's tenth, the love tenth. Bayis Sheni, Yitzchak's tenth, the tough tenth. He'll put it together and have, he'll make an ish tam, he'll make perfect the Yoshev Aholim. He'll be mematek the gvuris vadinim v'chasadim. He will sweeten the tough din with the love of chasadim. And therefore, Yagavino took, you know, we know he took five letters of Vav from Eliyahu Navi. Sometimes Yaakov is spelled with a Vav, Kuf Vav base in five places, because Yaakov represents the Vav. Vav is the Vav Achibur. Vav is connection. Yaakov has the power to blend and connect two opposites in Gansen, Chesed, and Gvura, two opposites. Yaakov can make a good, happy blend. So he has the Vav, which is Hamshacha, which is to draw one with the other and to mix the two. And it's not two separate worlds. So he says, the Yisoid is that when the Yidden were in the right Madrega, like at Harsinai and in Bayish Rishon before now control, there was a Bechin of Panim Bipanim. Hashem spoke to them face to face. And our relationship to the Torah is like a Kala with a Chosan. And just like the Kala has a veil. The reason why the Kala is a veil is interesting. I have a whole Shtigal Torah. It's a funny thing. Why is the Kala a veil? Why is the Kala face covered with a veil? We're not Arabs. We don't. Why should a woman wears a veil? We should have veils all the time. A Jewish lady should have veils all the time. If they don't wear veils, what's that? If they wear it under the chuppah. And if it's a chasna thing, she should have a veil the whole night of the chasna. People shouldn't look at the Kala. Maybe she'd be better off, you know, be very sneezistic. No one could look at her face the whole night of the chasna. So why should she have a veil? So I have one mahalach. But according to him, the mahalach is that, it's just Derech Agav, he says that, like she's saying, my beauty is only for my husband. I'm covering myself up to show the idea that I'm only revealing myself to the husband. If anybody else happens to see me afterwards, that's Derech Agav. My beauty is reserved for him. Under the chuppah, I don't take off the veil until the whole ceremony has ended. Ceremony has ended, now I open up my... Now our relationship with Torah is called Bechinas Achirayim. It is backwards. It's like the Torah does not reveal itself face to face to us. We only see the back of the Torah. Like the Torah turns its back to us. That's why it says in Eicha Perek Beis Pasuk Gimel, it says, Heshiv Achor Yemino. Hashem turned his right hand backwards. Because now our relationship with Torah is called Bechinas Achirayim. We're looking at God from the rear. We're looking at the Torah from the rear. It is not Panim Panim. It's not good. We don't see the Pnei HaTorah. We don't see the Torah Mamish. And therefore, he says that this week's Avtaira, which is Chazoin Yishayo ben Amotz, it doesn't say this is the Mare of, really the Hebrew word, the Chazon is the Aramaic word. Because the Targum of Re'iyah is, Lashon Targum, is Chazi. Chazi, Chazon, that root, Ches Zayin Chazah, Ches Zayin Hey, is not Hebrew. It is primarily Aramaic. And it is Lashon, it is not, and Aramaic is considered the Hepech of Hebrew. That's good for why we have Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. Because it's like we're taking the Targum, I'll tell you more about it in a second. The Targum is like being bottled, it's like bottle Chad Betray. The Targum, so to speak, is the opposite of the Hebrew. It's like the Hebrew in a convoluted, backward fashion. So we say twice Shnayim Mikra and one Targum, so that the Targum becomes nullified 2-1. So Yeshaya ben Amotz says Chazoin Yeshaya and doesn't say Mare in Hebrew to show that that's good for the point. Yeshaya was telling Kleizel, this is your problem. Because of you, I cannot see things straight anymore. The Medrash says that Chazon and Gematria is 71. To say that Yeshaya's, all of his Nevuahs were under the aegis of Sanhedrin, which has 71 members. That's the word Chazon. Chazon alludes to the Sanhedrin of 71. He did everything under the auspices of Sanhedrin. But the Heilige Morinayim is saying that Chazon Yeshayo is its Aramaic Dafka to show that they were holding by Bechinas Achorayim and not Bechinas Pnim. Hebrew is the Panim of the Rabbanu Shlom. Aramaic already is Achirayim, and Moshe was all Bechinas Panim upon him, but Yeshaya already is Lashon is Chazi, because Heshiv Achir Yeminai. Yeshaya was close to the Churban. He's already telling them there's going to be a Churban. Yirmiyahu was even closer. Yeshayahu was 100 years before, but it was getting close to the Churban. And therefore, it's Chazon Yeshayahu, which is Acharayim. Now, my dear friends, I see you're getting tired, and the last thing in the world I would want you to be tired. Now, there's an awesome shtickle from the Kedushas Levi that I found, and it's awesome for Tisha B'Av, but it's too much to say tonight. So I will just tell you some two short things in Kedushas Levi, and we'll dismiss the class, because at 11 o'clock, you know, it's not easy to keep everyone, the class, alert. So we'll see how you're doing. But I'll tell you the two short pieces in the Kedushas Levi. We'll see how you feel after the two short ones. There's a long piece here, an awesome piece about Avelus on Yerushalayim. We could save it for next week, maybe. Maybe we'll have a shiur next Tuesday night. What's Tuesday? Something's happening Tuesday night. We'll have a shiur next Tuesday night. That's what we should do. That we should do, because Wednesday night is Eicha, which for sure you'll be there, but we're not going to talk about tomorrow night. Okay, I'll just say two short things. So I'll save the Kedushas Levi for next Tuesday night, 10:15. What? And the two pieces in Dvarim, in the first Chayla Kedushas Levi, are like this. One piece is mamash a good segue into the Morinayim. Because the parasha begins, Elad Dvarim, it begins with the idea that Moshe said over the Dvarim, the Mishnah Torah, the repetition of the Torah, Be'evei Yard, Be'eretz Moyav, Hoyol Moshe, Ba'er Es HaTorah HaZois. And Rashi says, Ba'er Es HaTorah, Moshe explained the Torah, B'Shivim Lashon. Now I realize, this is all happening about a month before Moshe dies. Sefer Dvarim is in the last month of his death. When does Sefer Dvarim begin? Reish, Chaydesh, Shvat. Moshe dies, Zayin Adar. It says the Torah. Moshe started on Reish Chaydesh Shvat. So, but it says, Be'er Es HaTorah, Moshe has explained the Torah. Torah is given at Sinai, 40 years ago. What's going on now? It says, Rashi, B'Shivim Lashon. Suddenly Moshe is teaching the Jewish people in 70 languages. What's going on here? What do you have to have 70 languages for? All the Jews knew Hebrew. Everyone spoke Ivrit, Ivris, Lashna Kodesh, not Ivrit, Ivris, Lashna Kodesh, no Ivris, Lashna Kodesh. So why is Moshe saying over the Torah in 70 languages? There are other explanations, but I will save them for another time. But what the Kedushas Levi says is, I'll tell you why. And I will just spice it up a little bit. But he said like this, you know, the truth is that the Torah itself has Aramaic words in the mamash. Like by Lavan, when Yaakov Lavan made a gris at a big rock that they put up in Gilad, so Yaakov called it Gilad, which is Gal Eid. It is a rock of testimony that Lavan and Yaakov will not fight each other. And it's almost a testimony that Lavan is moved that Yaakov gets Eretz Yisrael. And that the territory of Lavan Harami, Aram, which is Syria and Iraq, Aram is a big place. Aram is the whole Mesopotamia and above. Syria, Iraq, that's for Lavan. So, in Hebrew, Yaakov calls it Gilad, Gal Eid, and Lavan calls it Yigar Sahadusa. Yigar being a rock, Sadusa meaning Eidus of testimony. That's what it says in the Torah. So you have Aramaic in the Torah itself. Or better yet, you were an Aramite this morning. You were Aramaic this morning, right? You put on those black boxes called Totafos, which is not Hebrew. And actually, it's not even Aramaic. It's Chinese and African. Tat Bekat Vishtayim and Cafe. Two, Tat means two. And in Africa it's two, and two is four. So again, Chinese and African. Then the Gemara says in Shabbos, that whenever it says the Torah, Hain, which means thus, Hain is not Hebrew, it's Greek. Because the Gemara says that in Greek, Hain means one. One means like, this is the one point I want to make, or you're the one, Hain am levadad yishkon, one nation. Hain is one. Sounds like one. In Greek. You know Greek? Check it out. if there's any word in Greek, which in Latin, of course, one is uno, but dos, but unum. Anyway, hein in Greek is one. So we have Greek, Chinese, African, Aramaic. There's a lot of Arabic words in many places in Rashi. If someone make you a little Mezmanim project for you, I know you're a little bored, go through all the Rashis and Gan's Torah. It's not that difficult. You can do it in about 2 days, 3 days. And make a list of all the words the Rashi says is Arabic, Aramic, or again, these other languages. So why in the world do we have other languages in the Torah? So the Kiddush Levi says, because the language of a nation is the soul of the nation. The language of the nation is the heart of the nation. If you want to know the heart of the nation, how the nation really thinks and feels, the language is the ultimate expression of their heart and their soul and their essence. Language is the essence of a nation. And the Jewish people were going in the Golus. Even as they were standing poised to go over the Yarden into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe knew that it is not going to be long lived. And Moshe knew that the destiny of the Jewish people is going to Ukraine or Russia, and they'll end up in Zhytomyr and Berdichev, those other nice little towns where they speak Ukrainian and Slavic and Russian. So how are the Jews supposed to exist in Ukraine for hundreds of years? Because if the soul of the Jew and the soul of the guy is so diametrically opposite, it's not shy to exist there. So therefore, the Rebbe Shlomo made, he gave the Torah to Moshe now, as they were in Chuslaret still, and there it's Moav, a foreign nation. Hashem gave the Torah in 70 languages. Some of those words were actually implanted in the Torah itself, but every word of the Torah was translated into 70 languages, so that when the Jews are exiled to the 70 nations, their Torah should fit, and the Jews should somehow relate. Otherwise we'd be so strange, we'd be so totally foreign, that we just couldn't exist on foreign soil. So that's why the Torah is in 70 languages. Because you didn't have to be in Golus, and this is the achiza to the soul of the nations of the world. Of course, it's dangerous too. But that's why it says, Bevri Yarden, Beretz Moyov, Hoyel Moshe Ba'eretz HaTorah. That's why the Torah Dafka prefaces by saying it was Eretz Moyov. Because only because of Eretz Moyov, the Jews will someday be going to Moav. And Moav represents the essence of all the Goyisha world. That is, the reason why we are in these nations is because Moav represents the perfect example, because you have the Neshama of the Mashiach and Moav. We have to go, so what do we have to go to those nations for? Because there's something to be gained from those nations. There's lost sparks of Kedusha in every one of these nations. So we have to go to these nations in order to redeem those sparks. And Moav represents the ultimate value, because they have the spark of David HaMelech and Moav. And parenthetically, I will add that the Malbim says that the reason, Taka, why the other, we have African, Chinese, Greek, Aramaic, and the Torah, Arabic, is because really all these languages come from Hebrew in the first place. And before the Tower of Babel, there was only Hebrew. Like it says, there's only Savachas. There's only one language in the world. Then the Tower of Babel, Hashem mixed up Hebrew into 70 languages. And there are some authentic Hebrew words which fell into those languages and are not used in regular Hebrew. But not Chas V'Shalom says the Malbim that Totafos is African and Chinese. No, it's Hebrew. Just that these Hebrew words were lost from everyday Lashon Kodesh, and you can only find them today in Africa and China. And Hain is pure Hebrew. But it's dropped, shall we say, from Hebrew, usual terminology. So it's primarily a word in Greek. And by them, it's more of a common vocabulary than by us. Or Yigar Sadusa. That's certainly not in our vocabulary. But it's really Hebrew. So it comes out that the reason why we go amongst the nations is to pick up the lost words. And it's also to pick up the lost souls. It supports this concept that the reason why we have to go into all the 70 nations and relate to them is because, what is to relate to them for? Because we are going fishing. This is not stand that we're in Golas. The Golas is a fishing expedition. We're fishing out all the lost good stuff, the holy stuff that got lost amongst the Goyim. So this Geirim, the Gemara says, the Jews are only in Golas to get Geirim. So our goal is to go pick up lost souls of Geirim. Our goal is to pick up lost sparks of Kedusha. Our goal is to pick up lost words from Hebrew. It's all the same concept. So that's why the Torah has to be in 70 languages, so that the Torah should relate. And the Torah is the magnet that extracts anything decent and worthwhile from the Goyim. That little bit of gold being separated from the dross is by the magnetic power of the Torah, and that's why you have to have the words of the Torah. And finally, the last word of the Kedush Levi, he starts off, Eilat Zvarim Shadibri Moshe, Bamidbor, Barava, Mulsuf, Bein Poron, Ubein Tofel. The Torah has a lot of words here describing exactly what Moshe spoke. And it says, these are words of Moshe, this is Moshe's final speech to the Jewish people, Bamidbor, where? Barava, Mulsuf. Says the Heilige Kedush Levi, there's a deeper meaning to Arava Mulksuf. Arava is cognate with the word Erev, which means night, like we're in right now. And by Judaism, everything is Erev and Boker. First you have night, then you have morning. The important thing in life is that the problem is that youngsters, like you, when they're young, they think they're going to live forever. And they think that it's always young and youthful, you have lots of time, and no responsibility, care for your life. When I get married, I'll settle down. But now that I'm young, I'm going to live it up, big time. And you're like, this gentleman here, it's too late. He's locked down, never shackled, chained, pilloried. It's all over. If you're married, you lose your freedom. Before you're married, you're incomplete. If you're married, you're finished. So, when you're young, you think you're incomplete, you have a lot of time, there's no problem. So there, Moshe spoke the words Barava. He spoke to those who are Be'erev. Be'erev, Be'boiker. When you're starting off life, by us, life starts in the Erev. Mulsuf. Right away, think of the Seif. Don't forget about the Seif. We're all going to die. Even though you're 20, your time is limited. Your time is limited just as much as the guy's 40 or 60. It's just a bat of the eyelash, or 80. When you're Arava, Mulsuf. That's the biggest Mulsuf I should give. That Chilis Mei Adam Nekroim Erev. And Lashon Arev also, Lashon Sweet, Ziz. When you're young, everything is sweet, everything is good. Like Rav Gifter say, when he was a kid in Baltimore, his father always tell him about, how delicious the bread tasted in Litha, in Lithuania. His father was a real Litvak. Came from, was it Shavel? Shavel. It was Shavel or Shadova, which one of those little towns. So when Rav Gifter got to Litha, he was expecting, wow, can't wait to taste this great Lithuanian bread. He tasted the bread, it was miserable. It was horrible. Lithuania is a very poor soil, poor country, not a very rich country at all, and it was not agriculturally very prosperous. Miserable bread. So he said, Rav Gifter say, was the tatot gespiert and nit given the tam from the breut. He gave end the time from this Jugend. His father wasn't taking the taste of bread. He's taking the taste of youth. When you're young, everything tastes good. When you're young, you can handle things that when you get older, it's too much. You get nervous. When you get older, you're talking of making the cotness. When you're younger in a certain way, the youth, in a certain way, you're so in love with life and the potential, and the possibilities, and we're dreaming. We're so in love with life that discomfort that older people would fetch about, young people don't bother. Right? And you're bach in the yeshiva, can sleep on benches. How's a bach in the yeshiva? He slept for a year and a half in a dormant, after the fire, it tells you, he slept in a gym, on these beds, 150 guys in one room. The gym was about, I would say really, the gym was four times the size of this space medrash. It was a very big gym, it's still there. At least three times bigger than this space medrash. Big. And there was like downstairs one bathroom. For the whole 150 guys. One shower, one bathroom. Everything was very public. It was not the greatest place to be. But who cared? We were in love with Torah. We were learning. We were young. We had a good time. And then the Rosh Hashanah, they used the gym for davening because they had the whole yeshiva and mechina together. So they took us and they took all the beds. I know they took all the beds and put it into classrooms. And these tiny little classrooms. They made not double deckers. I think it was triple deckers. And we were like squashed like sardines in a small classroom. They put dozens of boys from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. I'm not sure if they took it apart during a certain shiur, I'm not sure. But it was pretty miserable. But again, who cares? I'm a bacher in the yeshiva, I'm young. When you're young, everything's good. Young, when you're single, your pockets jingle. Yeah, everything is good, everything is fine. The Tam von Jugend says, as the Heilige Kedush Levi, listen, when you're bar Rava, when you're in the era of you're at the beginning of life, think about Mul Suf. Put your eyes right there, there's an end. That's the wise person. When you're young, you're not so carefree, you're not so happy-go-lucky, you get serious, you get covered right. When you have a Rav, a Mul Suf, then you live a more responsible life, you'll get more out of your youth, because you'll spend your time much more responsibly and much more in touch with reality, that there is an end and there is an accounting. So those words of mine, I think, will end tonight. And the beautiful shtickle from the, I will say for next week, Mitzvah Hashem, gentlemen, and have a wonderful night and a wonderful week, and Kol Tov.